Hey everybody, Kyle Finley here, Marketing Director of Crypto 101. Just want to give a huge thank you and shout out to all of our listeners and all of our subscribers out there. It's been an incredible few months, and I'm really excited to see where we can take this thing and to help, you know, the average consumer dive into the crypto world.
Hey, this is Ross, lead writer over here at Crypto 101. Want to say thank you to all our listeners. It's because of you we're building this community, and it's with you that we're going to help it grow.
And yo, this is Matthew Aaron, and I also want to say thank you to everyone for getting Crypto 101 where it is today. And where is it? Crypto 101 this month doubled its listenership since the previous month. And we couldn't have done that with all of you not supporting the community, supporting Crypto 101, passing our information along, telling people about our podcast, writing us emails, helping us with our logos, helping us think of ideas, and just giving us support. So we want to say thank you very much for helping Crypto 101 get where it is this month. Yet, we still have a long way to go, so we have to ask for your help. Please go to iTunes and rate us, leave a comment, hopefully a good one, about Crypto 101. This allows people who are searching for cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, to find podcasts that are relevant to them. It moves Crypto 101 to the top of the line so we are more visible. So please go to iTunes, rate us, and leave a comment. Today's episode is an interview with James Lovejoy, the lead developer of Vertcoin. In this episode, we're going to talk about atomic swaps, Lightning Network, decentralization, politics, and he's going to tell us why Vertcoin is the coin that is being developed for the future, and tell us about the team of volunteers and the community behind Vertcoin. Remember, with these interviews, all the songs are picked by the person who's being interviewed. So these songs today are by James. Enjoy the show. I'll see you after the episode. All right. I'm just going to start recording because who knows when there's going to be another problem. Hi, James. Well, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too, Matthew.
Hey, man. I'm really sorry about all the BS in the beginning of this, but we worked it out.
See, this is why I hate video conferencing. It's inherently unreliable.
I'm just going to take a quick selfie so I can tweet this a little bit later and say this is going to come up.
Yeah, I've just been like getting into the Twitter sphere because I realized that's where all the news in this space seems to be being released now. So
yeah,
been spending more and more amounts of time on Twitter, which is probably bad, but otherwise you end up out of the loop.
No, it is totally bad, man. Between that and Reddit, it just takes all your time.
Yeah, you know, now most of my time is spent not necessarily doing development, but more doing sort of community outreach and support.
So you're basically the face, you're the PR guy now.
I mean, not by choice, just by the bandwidth of our development team. Lots of new people wanting answers to questions.
The first thing that's on my mind is you guys killed it last week or 2 weeks ago, atomic swaps with Litecoin. How did that happen? How stoked are you guys? And what's the future for Vertcoin in this new development?
Atomic swaps, or at least that atomic swap that we did, is, I would say, an exciting proof of concept. But it's definitely not the end goal that we're aiming towards. Because really, we want to be doing atomic swaps on the Lightning Network, which is what is going to allow them to be sort of high frequency and low cost and instantly routable. Was on-chain and expensive and slow. So I would say it's an interesting proof of concept of how you can do like a over-the-counter kind of trade using it. But I think atomic swaps is only really going to become useful once it's implemented on the Lightning Network.
So when you say it's a proof of concept, this is the first atomic swap outside of the concept or idea?
I actually don't think it is the first atomic swap. I mean, it's using a well-defined algorithm for atomic swaps that's been around for several years now. The code itself doesn't even actually use SegWit. The type of atomic swap that the code that DeckRed does is something that's been possible for quite a long time. And as you can imagine, if I was doing a Vertcoin to Bitcoin trade, for example, that's several dollars worth of fees on the Bitcoin side,
right,
and probably several hours of time waiting for transactions. Whereas, the Lightning Network is going to allow us to do this stuff, instantly and off-chain, which is really but the Holy Grail.
Okay, so because of the nature of the program, it's Crypto 101. It's more for, you know, people to try to get into cryptocurrency and try to understand the future of cryptocurrency. What is atomic swaps?
It's a way of swapping coins on two different blockchains in a trustless way. Mm-hmm. So you could imagine talking to a friend or someone you don't know on the internet and saying, you know, I want to trade, you know, X amount of Bitcoins. The problem you've got now is, you know, you have to trust that person to perform the trade. Mm-hmm. Or you need some other person to escrow that trade for you.
Like a third party.
So this is where, yeah, so they, you know, take custody of your funds and they, you know, release the funds once the trade is complete.
Right.
But that's not ideal in this decentralized world where atomic swaps will allow you to trustlessly swap the coins, just person A to person B,
okay, in
a way that unless the trade is complete, there's no way to cheat the other side out of the trade. So this is great because it's going to allow us to essentially make traditional exchanges pretty redundant. So it's exciting because these exchanges, they're not massively reliable and they're not massively trustworthy.
Well, actually, you just said something that I never knew atomic swaps could be used for, because I was always thinking as like P2P consumer applications. So I went into a store, they say I accept Bitcoin, I pay with Vertcoin. What is the exchange aspect of it?
What you described there is a form of exchange. There would need to be someone on the other side of that trade, you know, Bitcoin to Vertcoin, in order to actually do the swap.
Mm-hmm.
So implicit in what you described there is actually an exchange mechanism underlying all of this.
Okay, I understand.
The exchange part will probably come first, followed by what you described, which is, you know, where you're able to go to a merchant and just have it seamlessly find a trading partner, swap, and send to the merchant in sort of one seamless process.
Vertcoin has been around for how long?
4 years now, actually, in the next sort of 3 months.
Oh, right on. So how did you get involved? Are you the founder, creator, or what's the story behind Vertcoin?
So, I mean, I'm actually kind of shady on the original setup of Vertcoin because that was before my time and I wasn't actually there when it was first created.
Okay, so it was an existing entity before you got involved. How did you get the keys to the Ferrari?
Well, I joined sort of like 9 months in. Since its inception, I think. I was just a community member, started mining on my like gaming computer, found it compelling and interesting. But over the time, I think when it was originally created, Vertcoin was a master's project for a group of students.
Oh, wow.
And I mean, now the ex, I guess, quote unquote, founder of Vertcoin is now the lead developer of Zcoin. So he does that now. But yeah, I mean, I joined the development team November 2014, and just over time, as you know, people moved around.
The de facto lead developer. So you're de facto the driver of the Ferrari.
I would say so, but we take, you know, group decisions as a team.
Right.
I would not argue that like I'm some authoritarian leader who says how it's going to be. We have very open discussions and come to collective decisions.
You know, actually, that I'm in the Slack with Vertcoin. Out of all the Slacks that I'm part of, that's one thing that I think makes Vertcoin unique compared to the other coins out there is the development team and the community that you have. I don't know. It's almost like the epitome of what cryptocurrency should be, a decentralized community-based entity that's growing. What do you think makes Vertcoin unique?
I mean, I think, yes, as you describe it, I don't know any other coin that has, you know, as strong and as dedicated a community as we do. But I mean, clearly what makes us unique is ASIC resistance. And what this essentially means for the normal person is that with a modest investment, you're able to mine this coin profitably, which is not possible with the vast majority of cryptocurrencies in existence today, especially Bitcoin and Litecoin, which are pretty much impossible to mine now. It allows you to take part in a system rather than be a passive observer, which I think was the original point of cryptocurrency as Satoshi imagined it.
Why is this important to you that like it's ASIC resistant? Now, I was talking to Douglas Pike of Virium the other day, and he thinks that being decentralized is key to maintaining cryptocurrency and blockchain. Why is it important to you, and why are like Bitcoin and Litecoin going a different route?
You know, the answer to this question is deep and multifaceted. The biggest one is that, I think if we go back to, you know, sort of the big point of why we're doing all of this cryptocurrency stuff, the idea was to recreate the financial system in a more fair manner than how it is traditionally constructed. And if you have a situation where mining and transaction verification are all going to a small group of, you know, two or three people.
Right.
That sounds a lot to me like the system we already have.
Right.
So I don't see the utility in using a system we already have that's just more expensive.
Right.
Because, you know, if I wanted to use a centralized system, I would just use a bank. I mean, you know, Bitcoin transactions cost what, like $3 each?
Right.
Could you imagine if my bank charged me $3 per transaction? It would be. Yeah, and at this point, I really don't see Bitcoin and Litecoin and other ASIC mined coins of that sort as much different from banks that we already have now, because they're wholly controlled by the ASIC manufacturers that that mine them. I mean, that's the first thing. The second thing is just, you know, from a fairness perspective, you can see, you know, with this SegWit deal with Bitcoin and to a lesser extent Litecoin that's still going on in Bitcoin, unfortunately, is as they're taking decisions on behalf of the entire community because they have that power. You know, it's very clear that the Bitcoin community wants SegWit, doesn't particularly want 2x. The voice of the miners is disproportionately amplified compared to everyone else. So, at least when we came to implement SegWit, it was relatively painful, like painless for us. We didn't have to have, you know, New York agreements or meetings with miners. We just released the software, and, you know, within a certain amount of time, it activated via the normal route. So that's the second thing. And I would say the third thing is sort of economical. You look at the hash of Litecoin, it just increases with time, irrespective of the price. You know, this is leading to this ridiculous situation where Bitcoin is consuming like multiple, you know, thousands of gigawatts of power just to maintain itself, which is way in excess of its market cap. Whereas what you'll see with Vertcoin is, you know, because people have what they mine, because the hardware is generalized and you can mine any GPU coin with it.
Right.
It means that the hash rate actually changes with the market cap of the coin. And it means that the hash rate, you know, can go down, which is good because it keeps the hash rate in equilibrium with the price and stops the power consumption from getting too out of whack. So I'd say those are the three main points.
So the more expensive the Vertcoin, the harder the hash is going to be.
Yeah, I mean, it's slightly more nuanced than that. It's more to do with how many funds are available to mine, because, mm-hmm. you know, you also have things like transaction fees built in. Increases the value of what is available to mine increases, but obviously the cost of the power stays the same. And so, you know, the number of miners in the system will increase to compensate for that.
As you said, the hash rate is going to become more difficult as Vertcoin grows. How can you be sure that the average person can still mine Vertcoin?
Well, the important thing is to keep it at a level playing field. Mm-hmm. And as long as you keep, you know, that level playing field, then it's always going to be at least marginally profitable for people to mine it.
Right.
Yeah, you know, those of your listeners who know about microeconomics, like market equilibrium. You know, as the price goes up, the number of miners joining increases, so that the profitability stays roughly around, you know, break even. If the price goes down, miners leave. So you have this system trying to reach equilibrium. You know, I can buy 10 GPUs the same as someone can buy 100 GPUs.
Right.
The problem with Bitcoin is I can buy, you know, maybe one ASIC that isn't profitable, whereas Bitmain can produce thousands of ASICs that are.
To change it up a little bit, could you just tell me a little about yourself? Like, who are you? You're the lead developer of one of the most popular coins in cryptocurrency right now. Maybe not the highest market cap, but it's one of the most talked about. Who is this James guy?
Well, I mean, I'm just a normal guy. I grew up in sort of like Southeast London area. I'm currently 20. I currently study at MIT in the US. I'm studying computer science and electrical engineering. I guess in my spare time, apart from working on Vertcoin, I'm interested in politics, finance, that kind of thing. Pretty avid. I think in the future I could see myself having a career in politics, but yeah, it would be easier for me to be a politician in the UK because obviously I'm a citizen there, but not here.
I would figure after graduating from MIT, you just start running.
Unfortunately, I don't think I would be elected if I did that. People generally like to see their candidates have some form of life experience first.
Well, you did see our president, right?
Not to say that I like him, but
oh, you could like him. That's cool.
The reality is he won the election.
That is true.
You know, people should see him. Clearly, he's electable for some reason.
Hey, guys. TiVo here to tell you about the Eufy Video Lock, a smart lock, a 2K camera, and a doorbell all in one. That's right. 3-in-1 for triple the security. It's easy to install. All you need is a Phillips screwdriver. No drilling required. It gives you keyless entry, so no more fumbling your keys when you have your hands full coming back from the grocery store. No more worry about the kids losing a house key. No more worry about a guest losing the house key or forgetting the passcode on your door. And for Airbnbers, it's a no-brainer as you can change the passcode at will between renters. It has available fingerprint recognition, and it has AI self-learning chip, so the more you use it, the more accurate it's going to be. You will have no anxiety with the battery charging. It is a rechargeable battery, and it lasts around 4 months, but don't worry, when it's low, it'll give you plenty of weeks' notice, and also, it always comes with a physical key as a backup. There's no monthly fee, unlike other brands that charge you a monthly fee to get your backup recordings. They're always recorded locally and you will always have access. Customer support for the Eufy Video Lock is 24/7, so you don't have to worry about any issues you have, and it comes with an 18-month warranty. What I love about this product is it's truly all-in-one with the 3-in-1. You don't have to go out and buy multiple parts. It's all in this package with the Eufy Video Lock. So if you're interested in learning more, go on Amazon and search Eufy Video Lock. That's EUFY Video Lock, or visit eufyofficial.com/videolock. Again, that's EUFY Video Lock. Eufy Video Lock. Get complete control over your front door.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
He did speak to a demographic of the United States that really needed to be spoken to at that time.
And you know, it's a global phenomenon. I mean, we've seen France with Marine Le Pen, AFD, and Britain with Brexit. It's
right.
It's happening everywhere.
Why do you think that is?
Well, I mean, it's sort of the same thing as what Vertcoin is working towards to an extent. It's, we've got this situation where wealth and power is being concentrated in the hands of a few individuals. And the average vote for, hard right candidates because they see that as an alternative to what they live with already, whether that be, a good thing or not. And it's another question, but they perceive it to be a change from what they have. And they're so desperate for that.
Besides the finance, and maybe the economic management comes a lot of different baggage.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think right wing politics is at all the solution to you know, these people's problems. I think people don't think too deeply about policy, but they think in terms of change, and they see the right as a change from what they have already.
That's a very good point. I think that's a lot of reason why Barack Obama was elected about 8 years ago.
Right. I mean, I don't think most people have the knowledge required about economics and policy, and not to mention the fact that, you know, they don't have the time. You know, most people are busy with their lives. And so that, you know, they're not going to get the nuances of taxation and, you know, the multiplier effect and things like that. Whereas blaming immigrants and globalization is compelling to most people, even if it's not the actual mechanism by which they have become disadvantaged.
No, I'm trying to get this back into Vertcoin somehow, but I want to keep talking to you about politics. It's one of my interests.
Well, I mean, Vertcoin is, it's really interesting because, you know, it plays into everything. But I mean, my politics definitely, you know, play into Vertcoin in this case, because, you know, I'm essentially aiming for the coin for the many and not for the few. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be a passive observer in this coin at the whim of, you know, Jihan and his ASIC miners. You know, if you want SegWit, you just have to install the software on your miner and you're good to go. And that's what happened with us. And that's why we activated before Litecoin and Bitcoin. Because, yeah, when you give power back to the people in all sense, you get a better outcome. And that's what's happened with Vertcoin.
So where do you see Vertcoin in the future then? In 5 years, 10 years, maybe 20 years?
I think, you know, the biggest thing you're going to see over the next sort of 5 to 10 years is it moving from specialist technology, which is sort of what cryptocurrency is at the moment, to something a bit more mainstream, you know, something more people are using in their homes. A big thing for us is improving ease of use and integration with point of sale solutions, because we think all the pieces are there, but you know, right now it's too complicated for most people to use. I mean, if you want to start fiddling around with GPUs and operating systems and electronics and what have you, and that's too much for the vast majority of people to handle. So, you know, we're looking at plug and play solutions for mining that still use consumer hardware so as to keep it at a level playing field. And then also working on, you know, new wallets that make, you know, integration with Lightning networks far easier, and then also working on hardware solutions for point of sale so that you can actually go into a store and use your Vertcoins to buy things there and then.
I guess that answered my question of how you want to see it in 5 years. Why would people right now get involved with Vertcoin, invest in Vertcoin, and what, besides for, you know, the monetary gain where, you know, it goes to the moon and Lambos and all that stuff, what are they going to see in 5 years? And why would they get involved now with what you're trying to accomplish?
Again, I think the answer to this question is multifaceted. I think the mass public is not really going to get into cryptocurrency until there is another big financial crisis, which may come sooner rather than later. Perils of the last financial crisis are completely unresolved. I think the exact same thing is going to happen again pretty soon.
Right.
And at that point, you know, people, I think, and, you know, at the time of the last financial crisis, Bitcoin, you know, didn't exist. So,
right.
You know, this technology wasn't there to pick up the pieces, but now it is. So I think what you'll see is, can we move on to a system of having currencies that are actually backed by something?
Well, there's a couple of countries that are in crisis right now. Venezuela, for example.
Tough thing with that is cryptocurrency only really works in a technological economy, unfortunately, which neither Venezuela or, you know, even less so Zimbabwe have. You know, because it requires internet connectivity, you know, the ability to use a wallet, that kind of thing. This technology could definitely help those countries a lot. It just requires the political will to implement it.
A scenario, for example, shit goes tits up in the United States. Hurricanes are hitting Florida. Power is out. You know, people still need to do trades. Fiat, they could pull out of their pocket. They could get out of their mattress. But cryptocurrency, if everybody's based off of that, can they use it in a hurricane situation?
They can only use cash. Right. So we should be clear that, you know, in that situation, it's only cash that works.
Are there solutions? for...
Yeah, that's a challenge we need to look into because they don't work offline.
Right.
I think in disaster situations, you know, there are other methods of communication besides the cellular network, the landline. You know, you can use satellite communications. I think it's just going to require, you know, a slightly different mindset. But, I mean, that doesn't mean to say that you know, won't be cash in the future. But I think you'll see definitely a much larger proportion of cryptocurrencies than fiat. Maybe a completely wholesale replace it, but I think governments would be quite resistant to that.
I think we went down a weird rabbit hole here.
I mean, there are so many unanswered questions with this technology. It's still, you know, very much in its infancy. It's not even been around for 10 years yet.
Right.
I mean, if you think where the internet was at after 10 years,
exactly, it still wasn't
very far into its development. So there's a lot still to work out, but the potential is there.
What's your opinion of recent rise in Bitcoin up to 5,000? I think it was last week. You know, it's at 4,200 today. Do you think that we're going the right direction? Is growing sustainably?
You know, I don't understand the crypto markets at all. I mean, I would say I'm just so jaded about the market.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, okay.
Describe it. Because coins and the rankings of them, and it bears almost no relation to what's actually behind them. And I think that's because, you know, cryptocurrencies are fundamentally quite hard to understand. And people, on average, have a lot more money than they do understanding of things. Happen larger influx of money flooding into the ecosystem, but not enough deep analysis about what all of these coins actually do. You know, who are the developers? You know, what are their motivations? Because, you know, recent spat of ICOs, left, right, and center, it's just, you know, where the developer makes an altcoin, allocates himself a whole bunch of them, gets it listed on an exchange, dumps all their coins. I mean, it's just a rebranding of that same process, except ICOs are fancy and have instant gratification.
A lot of people don't understand what is backing the coin up. What is a coin that you think is backed up properly? Besides Vertcoin, we already know that one's like on point.
Like, I know some of the people, like, personally, so I can say with like reasonable confidence that like those coins probably have competent people behind them.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I don't know if you saw the IOTA news that the DCI released recently. So, I mean, that's a really great example, right? Where, you know, you have a system that's like fatally flawed. And, you know, you have developers misleading, you know, users and investors. You know, so that's a great example, I think, of where, you know, money has come before, you know, thought and analysis.
I honestly think Vertcoin is one of the coins that is developing in a way where they're getting the tech first. They're not going, you know, super crazy with, you know, promotion or hype or branding to, you know, get a billion-dollar market cap before they even have training wheels to be able to ride their bike.
I think it's all very high expectations for a lot of these projects. But I think what you're going to find is that there'll be a very low rate of delivery. Mm-hmm. Simply because a lot of the promises these projects are making are just not feasible with the, you know, current state of the technology. So, you know, we realize that, you know, we realize the technology, you know, isn't ready for mass market adoption yet. And so our aim is to, you know, develop ready for mass market adoption. And, you know, you don't get to that position by hyping and focusing all of your time on marketing and, you know, chilling your coin to the masses. You do that by building a community around the technology, you know, getting a good group of developers and, you know, really thinking about some of these hard problems and coming up with good solutions.
If you respect one person or look up to one person or think they're doing a good job in this space, who would it be?
I would say the Bitcoin Core developers. I would say they are quite saintly in this space.
Why is this?
Because, well, I mean, they dedicate themselves and their lives is working against them, and they don't quit. You know, I respect that a lot. I would love it if they did a proof of work change, but you know, that's not going to happen realistically. But I mean, you know, if it was me and my entire community was saying, no, you know, we don't want to run your software, we want to run this, you know, random dude in China's version of the software, they seem to be up to manage, and you know, they haven't abandoned it, and you know, they're still working very hard. So, you know, I respect them massively for that. And of course, their software is the basis of Barcoin, so we have to give them credit for that.
Yeah, of course, of course.
If I had to pick one person...
Yeah, that's what it is, man. I'm forcing that one person on you.
I guess I would pick Taj Dryja, who's the original author of the Lightning Network.
Okay.
His insight into that technology is going to allow us to do so many things. And it really is, in my opinion, you know, the solution to, like, you know, it's going to allow us to do futures contracts, insurance, betting, exchange between currencies, you know, instant transactions, low fees, you name it. It's just so powerful. And I mean, I'm thankful for him for coming up with it.
What have I missed that you want to cover about Vertcoin?
Well, I think the biggest thing to give us a chance and check us out and, you know, use that computer to try and mine it and see how, you know, compelling that can be. I mean, the biggest thing for me is, you know, I try and, you know, get people into mining, you know, in my day-to-day life by telling them about Vertcoin, you know, mm-hmm. how they can make money from mining. And, you know, people, you know, they struggle to understand it because it's quite an abstract thing. You know, what I found is once people actually start mining, it suddenly becomes very compelling because, you know, they realize how it works. Like, they're running this device in their house and they're getting payouts as a result. And that's helping to decentralize and, you know, verify transactions in the network. So, you know, the biggest thing I would say to people is, you know, don't be scared of it. Get down, tell me, what you gonna do? Do you wanna get down? What you gonna do? You wanna get down? What you gonna do? You wanna get down? Tell me. Get down on it. Get down on it. Get down. Barcoin has a lot of interesting things on the horizon. We're working on Lightning Network. We're working on Atomic Swap on mobile and on desktop. You know, it's a system where you no longer have to put up with crap from the miners because the miners and the community are the same people.
Right, hold on. Didn't I just see a news today you get put on the Reddit channel that you guys are going to have mobile wallets now?
Yeah, so it looks like the donation goal we had for the wallet has been reached. So that's great because, you know,
oh, dope, man. Congratulations.
Yeah, well, yeah, we're very grateful for the community and their donations. But, you know, it allows us to pay for, you know, the things that we need, the developers whose expertise we don't currently have on the team. That's mostly what it goes towards. And obviously, you know, we have to pay Apple and Google. You know, if people all believe in a common good and they all want to work towards that goal, then they'll find a way without the need for, you know, ridiculous amounts of monetary compensation.
I have to ask you, what songs you want to have played with your episode?
This is such a tough question for me. Well, my music taste is like underground electronic music. So what I decided on, I decided that everyone likes the 80s. Kool & the Gang with Get Down on It and Earth, nice. Wind & Fire with September, because those are two brilliant songs that no one can possibly argue with them. Thank you for talking to me.
Yeah. Thank you, James, for coming on Crypto 101. That was the interview with James Lovejoy, lead developer of Vertcoin. I want to say thank you again to James, and thank you very much to Vertcoin and the Vertcoin team. And like always, we're on SoundCloud, Facebook, Tumblr, Crypto 101, WordPress as well, Crypto 101, Twitter, crypto_101, Instagram, crypto_101. You can email me at crypto.101@outlook.com. And remember, if you'd like to join the Crypto 101 team, we're always looking for good people. No matter what your interest is and you want to join Crypto 101, send an email over. Let's get on a Skype, talk about it, and see what's up. Anyway, thank you very much. This is Matthew Aaron with Crypto 101. By standing on the wall, get your back up. 'Cause I heard all the people saying, get down on it, get down on it, get down on it, get down on it. When you're dancing, get down on it, get down on it, get down on it.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.